Good morning, everyone. Hey, how's everybody today? Have you listened this morning to what God's been saying? Because like Mark says, a lot of times what God does is he helps the person who comes up to speak by everyone preaching what the person has to say. So please listen today because you're gonna hear some things again. First of all, I just wanted to thank so much the eldership team, my friends, the entire team for allowing me this privilege. But I also want to thank you for this privilege. I always consider it an honor to speak in front of the church, the people of God. So today, I forgot if they can get that. This is part of my sermon, actually. Technology. Isn't it wonderful? You know me, I'm a geek, eh? A bit of a geek, and I love that. There we go, Engineers of Influence, part 5. How about that? Let's see if this is going to work here. Okay. Yes, it is. Well, remember we started off and we talked about engineering our influence. And Mark talked about that. Wherever we are, God has placed us to have an influence. Then Chris talked about relationally for ourselves. Come. And the communion table, and making sure that we didn't have a beam in our eye before we went out, and about how we think about other people. That's what I got out of that. The next was the ripple effect. I love this picture. Think of the ripples that you're causing in the people's lives. Number 3, and then one by one, we're going out. We don't have to win 100 people. We just need to win one by one. By one, like Stephen, that Peter met, like that. Today, what I would like to speak about today is about walking out the big picture. That's what it is. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to actually speak to more of the practical side of it and give you some of the things that I've learned in walking out the big picture. We're going to look at what the definition of an engineer and influence is, what the big picture is, but then walking it out. So in Wikipedia, it says, an engineer is a professional practitioner of engineering concerned with applying scientific knowledge, mathematics, and ingenuity to develop solutions for technical, societal, and commercial problems. Engineers design material structures and systems while considering the limitations imposed by practicality, regulation, safety, and cost. The work of engineers forms the link between scientific discovery and their subsequent applications to human needs and quality of life. So it got me thinking, what does it mean for us to be an engineer of influence? Well, this is what I wrote down. It means an engineer of influence for the kingdom of God is a born-again, spirit-filled believer concerned with applying Holy Spirit promptings and leadings and the Word of God to impact the lives of people around them spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Mark did not see my sermon, okay? He didn't see my notes. All he knew was the title was. But isn't that amazing, eh? That's what God has called us to be people of influence. Just like Jesus was. Jesus, when he grew up, he grew in all 4 areas. But the other thing, too, is if you think about his ministry, he impacted people in every one of those 4 areas. Now, it gets even better. The influence definition. It's the capacity or power of persons or things to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behaviors, opinions, etc. of others. Consider that, right? We know it's not us, right? It's not us that can make an impact on it. It's Holy Spirit in us. For if we go back to an engineer of influence, it's a person who's born again, spirit-filled. As we go out in life, as we be that aroma, I'm going to get ahead of myself here if I'm not careful, but we can be a compelling force because we have a compelling force inside us. Holy Spirit, right? Today, when you hear me talk, please understand, it's all about God in us. It's all about God in us. Okay? So, what about the big picture? It's almost fall. All the stuff of life is starting up. Summer, I don't want to say summer's over, but in our society, people are involved in so many different things. We have so much technology. Hey, we have these things here. You know what? By the way, I picked this up for the first time in about 2 years. Oof, there's a weight to this that there isn't in this. There. Just a little side note there. But there's work activities, school, things ramp up, people get involved in sports and everything. And it just goes on. But you want to know what? That's not the big picture that we're concerned with today. Okay? It's not the big picture. The challenge for us is to live our lives in this society which goes at about 300 miles an hour and to live the minutiae of our lives while realizing and acting on the opportunities that God brings as we walk through life. What we have to do is we have to get the big picture. But the big picture we want to have is the big picture of us, of what God wants us to be, being an engineer of influence. So what I wanted to do next is I wanted to just give a few points about what I understand being an engineer of influence and the big picture is for us. The first thing, okay, there is a kingdom and the king's name is Jesus, right? Yes, amen. Mark 1:15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." We have a message. We have a message that there is a kingdom, and we say it not only in the spiritual realm, but we say it in the physical realm. Really, what we want to do is we want to say to people, hey, guess what? Do you know that there is a kingdom? And you know what? There is a king, and his name is Jesus. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We have to be born again. People have to be born again. That is what God has put us out into our sphere of influence to do, is to bring people along. Tick, tock, 1 minute, 5 minutes, like Mark was talking about. We're there. Sometimes it's right around where, boom, God brings them to himself. Remember, and it's, who does it? God does it. Right? God does it. We're just instruments in his hands. We're ambassadors in his hands. Colossians 1:16-17. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If that doesn't sound like Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord and he is Lord of the whole universe, I don't know what would. There. Okay. Okay. The second thing is, go where? Wherever God has placed you. Right? As our sign says out there, you're entering your harvest field now. You're entering your mission when you go to work, when you go to wherever, when you go to the supermarket. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's what we should be doing. Acts 17:26, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places that they should live. Paul was talking on Mars Hill to the people of Greece, and he was saying that God has set us in a place. Remember that. I have been set on the street that I live on. That's the appointed time for me. Yeah. If you're discouraged about maybe a situation, just take hope in the fact that God has placed you in that place. The next thing, be one of the pebbles that God is dropping around the people in your life. Mark mentioned this last week. He talked about rainfall on the water. See? Technology. I love this. See that? Right there? Right there? That's where waves are overlapping. When waves overlap, guess what? Twice the impact. Twice the size. So as God is... God gave me this picture of as we're dropped around the people and we cause that ripple effect around people, God is also dropping other people around them and having other input in. And then what happens is God uses the cumulative effect of that to have a greater impact. So don't ever think that, oh, you know what, my ripple is only this big. Because one ripple that big, plus another ripple that big, plus another ripple that big, plus another ripple that big, is going to be that big. And it's about God. It's not about us. Sorry, I do get excited, so I'm not shouting. There we go. Next one. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting and leading as you walk through your lives, for yourself and for others. And just some quick examples. Acts 8:29-35. Philip, the Spirit said to Philip, prompting. Philip opened his mouth and preached Jesus. In Acts 10:19, and the Spirit said to Peter, go with these men that have come from Cornelius, after he had had the vision. And then a third one, Acts 16, Paul saw a vision to go into Macedonia. And he says they concluded that God, the Spirit was leading them into Macedonia. Okay? These examples are there in the Scripture not to intimidate us, not to make us feel, oh, I'm not like Paul or I'm not like that. And you know what? You're not. God made you unique. There's only one you. One you. And I think we heard some very encouraging words today. God was talking to us. Okay. Do you know that you're involved in a battle where life and death is at stake? Life and death. Okay. You're not responsible for the life or death, though. That's God, right? You're just here to be an ambassador. Do you know that you have every resource that you need for life? Everything, for every experience that you go through, God has given us His grace and His goodness and His mercy and His love and His kindness. And we don't have to worry because we have all that. Because of the mercy that is shown to us, we can show mercy to others. That one, I just need to remember that more often, it seems sometimes. So, now, what's the practical? I'm going to share now what the practical working out of this, of walking the big picture for me. I hope this helps you. But the thing is this is me, okay? But I think that there are some principles here that may apply to all of us. The first one is, I am a son, not a slave. I had to learn that or be reminded of that. I have to be reminded when life presses in and situations just push and push and push to remember that, no, I am a son, not a slave. John 8:36 says, so if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to the yoke again to the yoke of slavery. Notice how he said again. Very interesting word. It means that you've got to be careful, right? The Bible talks about guarding our hearts, right? We have to guard our hearts, and we got to make sure, because sometimes we can get, remember the minutiae, the busyness of life and going through it, and all of a sudden we realize, hold on a second here. Why am I acting this way? That's old. That's something that God dealt with, or I get tempted in a way, or something like that. There. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you're free today? I'm glad. Yes. Yes, God. 1 Peter 2, 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Who needs to put anything more onto that one? The other thing, too, we heard today, rest in the presence of God. Be still and know that I am God. Right? Think of the man who wrote Blessed Assurance, is it? They wrote, where he was on a boat, lost all his folks, and he wrote that thing, when the waves are crashing around. It's well with my soul. Thank you, Mark. Okay? Think of that. When the waves of life are crashing all around us, we know that we can be still and know that God is God. The second thing is realizing the potential for impact that God can have through me. Many of you know the story of my last 7 years. Worked at a telecommunications company, got laid off. Things got tough, real tough. Didn't have a job. Got a job at a coffee shop. We'll just call it that. And God has honored me. He's honored me. He's blessed us. But there's been a lot of challenges with work too. A lot of challenges. But the thing is that I know that God has placed me there. And there are a couple of things that were just sort of like aha moments where I went, ooh, okay, if I believe I'm in God's will, then thank you, Lord. I can say every day, thank you, Lord. When I go to work, I say, thank you, God, that you want me to go into this job this day because this is where you have for me. No? There. Do you know what that does? That sets you free. That sets you free. Because then you're not saying, oh man, I'm a slave to this job, or why am I not out of this job? You know, hey, it'd be very good, you know, it'd be very easy to get into that place. And I'm not saying that I'm always there, but hey, I'm in a work in progress. But that's something. The next point I wanted to make is things are not always as they seem. Okay, I worked 25 years in IT. I managed 42 people. I did a whole bunch of stuff. Now, I manage a different set of people. Wonderful people, by the way. I love my staff. I love them. They work hard. And the next time you get a coffee, remember that. They work hard. They work hard for their money. Okay, but the thing is that one day, the scripture that it's Second Corinthians 2:14-16. To one we are the aroma that brings death, to the another that we are aroma of life. It totally radicalized how I started working. In between 6 and 10 at my restaurant, we see 600 cars through the drive-thru. Okay, you now know where I work. Probably you all know where I work. That means, and if I'm on the window and I'm saying, good morning, here's your medium double-double or whatever it is, I'm the aroma to Christ to that person. Oh boy, does that change the way you look at your perspective, right? And it's about perspective. It's about up here, how you look at that. That just totally changed it. I thought, oh my goodness, in 25 years in IT, maybe I touched 1,000 people. I see 600 in 4 hours, right? Yeah. That I can have an impact on. Not only my 35 staff that I have an impact on, but I see all these people. Wow. Now, the numbers may be different for you, but I tried to look for it, but I think that there's probably, on average, people have contact with around 250 people. Okay? That's just going to the store, just going wherever. You have contact. Think of that. I want you to catch that. For me, that just changed the whole game when I thought of that. There. Number four. This is one I had to do. Making adjustments in how I relate to and think about people, especially the difficult ones. We have difficult people in our lives. I have some customers that come through and I think, wow, this is this is really serious for them. Romans 11:32 says, "For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all." That's our perspective on everyone. So that needs to be their perspective on the person that cuts us off, or because we don't know what kind of day they've had. No, we don't know what they're struggling with. Steve, when he was here, he quoted a guy from his church, Nate, I think it was, and he said, "The only opinion that we are to have about people is that Christ died for them." Oh, wow. There's another one. For me, walking out the big picture, that helps me to walk out the big picture. That helps me have a different perspective on people. The last thing was realizing that how I conduct myself in my sphere of influence, at my workplace, at my school, affects the people around me. If I come in and praise the Lord, okay, hallelujah, right? What are you getting from that, right? You're like, wow, he doesn't want to be here, right? I used to teach aerobics, okay? For 4 or 5 years. And I had 110 people on Saturday morning that would do everything that I did, including this, if I did that. And I tried it a couple of times just to see. Yeah. So, but the thing was, is if I said march, and I did this here, everybody else would go like this. But if I did this, then I would at least get, I had to go over the top on things. And that's the thing, I think God wants us to go over the top. Yeah. No? He wants us to live our lives exuberantly. But here's just a couple of anchors for you in the Word, which is good. 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity." Not just believers. And it's not just, I'm young. I take that tag. I'm young. Yeah. I'm young. I'm 20 years old with lots of experience. So, okay? James 3:13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So, the big picture. Okay. Those were the five things that I came up with for me that helped me, are helping me walk the big picture. And guess what? It's an ongoing process. God's going to show me more. You know the song Awakening? Where it says, and just wonderful today, the songs. Just fantastic. Isn't our musical team wonderful? I think they are. Yeah. Awesome. Just, I didn't talk to Jess, but just the songs that were sung and how we talked about awakening. We didn't sing that particular song, but that song, as I was preparing, just came into my heart. And I feel like what God is doing with us right now is he's awakening us to the potential that we have in God, but also the potential for growth for here. I want to see, like, it's great that you're all here. That's wonderful. But you know what? The wonderful news is we have a lot more room here. Yeah. We have lots of room. We can start a second service, right? We can have 4 services, right? Let's just work on having every seat full, okay? Having people here. God wants us, he has an inheritance for us. He's talked about it. We've talked about Isaiah 54. I'm really not in my notes now, but I just feel like I want to encourage you today. Okay, that. The last slide I have for everyone is for you. Whoop. Walking the big picture as an engineer of influence means for me that I ... Okay? I've shared with you some of the things that God has shown me. I know that God will show you what it means for you, right? You guys don't work in a restaurant. I do, right? Some of you work at the courthouse. Some of you are professionals, right? Some of you are do the most important thing and stay home and raise your kids too. Yeah, that's just as important. Being at the supermarket is just a place. Where when we go out as a group and we go out and have fun, guess what? We're being the aroma of Christ itself. But I just pray today that God, we will walk out the big picture. We'll keep in mind that we won't let the things in life cloud the bigger picture, which is bringing people to Christ, being witnesses for Christ, proclaiming that there is a kingdom and their king's name is Jesus. Okay? And we don't have to say that out loud, right? We don't have to say it. We can just live it. Acts of kindness, acts of kindness. Think of the acts of kindness. Has anybody seen the YouTube video of the guy who just pops up in the queue on the grocery store and he buys the person's groceries? Oh, wow. Man, just says, hey, here, boom, and pays for their groceries. Acts of kindness and how that impacted people. No, a smile. Do you know that if you smile, try it sometime if you're on the subway. It's lots of fun. People get nervous if you start smiling on the subway. You know, I'm sure this gent here is always smiling on his bus there. But if you smile, other people will smile, right? And you know what? We're not perfect. When we go through lies, when we make mistakes, right? But God is at work in us, isn't He? Amen? Great. Thank you. That's what I have for you today, folks. I hope and I pray that God will show you how to have the big picture for the sphere of influence that you have in your lives and that you will be able to walk out what He has for you. Thank you so much for listening to me.